You know, it's really hard being last. You know, because you have to morph between the pain and the promise. You know, and the presentations were really, really great. But Isoji is a different type of experience. We're about community building community from within. And we're non-traditional catalysts. And the word Isoji, it's Nigerian Yoruba for, it means rebirth, revitalization, or renaissance. And our mission is to facilitate the process of building community from within, promoting collective impacts, social justice, and equity by using continuous communications. We are from Marin City. Marin City is a small village up in Marin County. Marin County, notorious for being one of the wealthiest communities in the nation, which doesn't mean too much because we have some of the largest health disparities in any community within the state of California. We have approximately 400 residents there. Can you read my own writing? That's 4,000. And we have a very interesting story to tell. In 1999, Marin City was going through a social change upheaval. We had a billion-dollar foundation down the road that defunded a 17-member collaboration that provided services and human services to the community. This organization created such a gap within the community of service deliveries that 32 residents, activists, had to come together, and when we came together, we formed Isoji. And one of the first things we put on our agenda was to look at education and health and well-being within the community. Now, if you know anything about school districts, you know the school districts is a hard nut to crack. And our job was to go into the school, into the district, and ask them, would they join with the community so we can have a collective, you know, impact around the community. We wanted to start a community-centric school that taught both parents and youth at the same time. And because of their power, because of this power differential, we were pushed out of the picture. So we shifted our emphasis over to health and wellness. It took us 6 years of naysayers pushing us back, saying no, not giving us the resources, not acknowledging who we were to build a health and wellness center. Today, we are a federally qualified health and wellness center. We serve thousands of people with a multi-range of services from primary health care to mental health to dental treatment. We have a very aggressive system of outreach. Our job, if we can get it done, is to reach every member within the community. The shut-ins, all the youth, you get them service. We also, because of what we are, and we call ourselves an intermediary catalyst, which means we bring a lot of people from different jurisdictions down to the table so we can sit around and we can solve problems, we can develop strategies, we even create institutions like the Health and Wellness Center. Some of the things we've been able to accomplish is to build a 0-5 school readiness program, which teaches parents and children to get school ready, to become school ready. Some of the other things we've done is to create various social net aspects within the community. I think somebody mentioned that, you know, you have to own your own data. And this is very important because the data that comes out of the community, like you said, Doctor, is different than the data that other people see. So we're responsible for creating a database, publishing them in newspapers, and using our data to help design local programs that were more culturally competent. And Alberta will tell you a little bit about a program that she's very successful in doing, the multidisciplinary team. Alberta, you want to talk about that?
I want to sort of go back and talk a little bit about Esoji as it looks and how we come together. Esoji has, when it was formed, and through since 1999, we've had over 140 monthly community forums. These forums bring together community, families, government, leaders, service providers, all coming, sitting at the table around food, eating together, talking and sharing what the needs are and the issues. Along with that, we've been able to design and the process of what we went through to have the Wellness Center, more recently now, in which I'll get into the multidisciplinary team, and our Southern Marin intern project, all came about from, for an example, a teacher coming and saying, the school lunches are processed foods coming to our children. We're coming together around a person coming and sitting at this table saying, my mother tried to commit suicide a week ago because she had a diagnosis, had been battered, and had been put out of a shelter. From these incidents, we've been able to then develop committees working together around specific issues and then formulating a plan then that became a design that went into having an interdisciplinary team working together to address this. So then that was the focus on the problem. But then the prevention part of that has to do with the fact that we've been able, again, doing it in a partnership and a collaboration with all the different levels that impact the community. We have been able to see what is missing and what needs to be brought into the community. Like, for instance, we still do not have in the community any form or system, a way of dealing with the substance abuse problems we have in the community. This is the outreach and collectiveness that we've tried to do to bring that group in has not come. And the part of that which is the challenge we always have is the fact that fundings come to these organizations to bring these programs into our community. The statistics, they get the statistics from us, but they do not then bring the programs into the community. So this is the kind of work that Esoji does, and as I said, from a community base and looking at using our resources to design innovative projects like a family functioning scale, where we assess what the needs are of our families across every area that impacts them. What economics, housing, family relations, nutrition, and there it's a scale that we rate families on from crisis to thriving. And this is a system, everybody that participates in our multidisciplinary team uses this tool. And that way we're able to assess where the interventions need to be at the individual family level, and then also at the higher level of what resources need to be then developed and brought into the community by using this tool. Each thing has, there's been a process that it has to happen with ESOGI. That was the first stage of looking at, it would continue to do, look at the macro level and then at the micro level, the service delivery level. And at the service delivery level, out of the multidisciplinary team came the need to have people that could go into the homes further outreach. So then we designed a Southern Marin internship project that has social workers, marriage family counselors going into people's homes and providing the services, and then opening the, having it be a safe place where then families then feel it's all right then to come out and into the community and use services that have been, that they have not felt were sensitive or culturally appropriate for them. So, Ricardo, you want to do the macro piece?
To go?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about is we use, we're very versatile in our outreach to the community and drawing in different type of organizations. And some of the concepts maybe you might have heard about, maybe you might not have heard about. But we look at some things that will definitely, if put in our inventories, will empower communities. You know, one thing like community land trust. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of them, but it's a way to achieve affordable, permanent housing, you know, within communities. And it's a way of helping the community build equity. Also, we also ask our government to get into the process of home of ownership of its data, of its housing, of its lands. We lost the shopping center and some very valuable revenue-generating lands, which could lead to self-sufficient community because, you know, sometimes we're not ready. We're not ready to do the legal work. We're not ready to do the advocacy work to keep these assets. It's very going, it's going to be very important in the future, into the community. We also are heavy advocates of this new process called collective impacts. And collective impacts means we bring every organization, we share visions, we have continuous communications, we have continuous look, readjusting progress indicators, make sure that they're shared indicators. But what they do, and like in the village, I think, they reflect the whole of the village, the whole of the community. This is going to be very important in the future because less money is going into communities, and we definitely have to make all our communities investment worthy. That's a tricky word, but, you know, when people look, they want to spend money, they want returns off of the dollars that they invest. We also involve ourselves with innovative things, like the family functioning scale. It's an innovation around tracking, you know, the stability of families. And this is what we can report out as a community value. We also talk about things like, how do we redefine primary prevention? You know, how do we look at the things? And I keep referring to you, Dr. Mason, because you have some really dynamite stuff in your presentation, which very, you know, pulls us out of ours. But you talked about the 87% of self-worth, which is a very strong dynamic, you know, to introduce into people, because the science tells us that people with good self-worth do far better than those with high IQs. So, you know, what, you know, working along that path, and we're doing that with our primary prevention, trying to reframe it. You don't have it, but I also have a project called the Flood Puppy Project, you know, which deals with art, prevention, equity, and social justice. You're trying to get it, and we believe that art is a huge, very, very valuable tool to be using, you know, in our communities. You can use it for advertising, you can use it for therapy, you can do it, you can use it multiple ways. But in that's some of the innovative, you know, aspects of what we're doing. Now, if I guess we could really sit up here and talk for an hour on the multiple things that we're doing, but we don't have the time. But if you go to www.esogi.net, you can see, I mean, you can draw some ideas out, you know, from that site that you might be able to use. Yeah, and particularly the collective impact piece is a trend that's going across the nation right now. And it helps you galvanize all the resources within the community so that you can use to show that your community is doing its job. And that's, I can't overemphasize that. And in closing, we like to say that, you know, one of our jobs is to try to get organizations out of their silos. And because we have too many organizations that are independent of the whole. And if you're talking about integrated, you're talking about holistic, you've got to bring these people together. So, you know, what we want to do is, you know, get organizations out of their silos. We want to stop this system of interrupted funding. You know, I'm pretty sure anybody that's doing programs out here knows you got a dollar today and it's gone tomorrow, and so goes your program. But worse than that, so goes your promise to people, you know, to help them. And we're buried in bad promises. And that's an image that we have to turn around at the community level. Cultural competency is another piece that has to be controlled at the community level. And with this system of intermediary operations, tying things together, you know, pulling people together, you can dictate, you know, the type of design, you know, the type of product that you want coming out of your community. And I guess the last thing, you know, is we've always experienced a lack of community support. By focusing on the things that Alberta was talking about in collective impact, you know, you kind of draw people out of their little silos to become more civically active, you know, become part of the whole. And, you know, if we look down the future, we look, you know, for the promised land is sitting in this room, you know, it's us, you know, and it's us sharing this information, you know, and it's us moving these principles up to where they actually work, and all we have to do is talk to each other a lot of times, you know, look on the website, you know, and if you have any ideas, you know, because we're always around creative ideas, you know, give us a call. Give Diane a call. Thank you.
I really sincerely want to thank our community representatives. As you could see, it was an extreme challenge for them.